We do have the place for notes. You can use those. They're not printed for you as far as the text, the title, because I was away and I didn't get it emailed to Cheryl in time. I actually was going to email it, and Tina already knew it was run, it was printed, and she said, it's okay, they can fill it in. So you're going to have to pay special attention to these points. The fruit of the Spirit is what we're talking about. We began a series last week, and the first subject matter in this one fruit is love. So you can put that as the title if you like, or the fruit of the Spirit dash love, and that's our title for today. We're looking at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25, and you can be sure that this will be the main text for the next number of weeks, except for next week when the missionary is here. You can expect this to be your text. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit... You notice it says in your Bibles, fruit, singular. It's not fruits. And I still remember my flannel graphs from Sunday school that my teacher showed me. And there was grapes, and there was apples, and there was oranges, and there was bananas. And she would talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And then I realized as life went on, wait a minute, it's only one fruit with many attributes. And so the flannel graph people kind of messed it up for me for a while there. But I got it under control. How many had flannel graph in Sunday school? How many still have flannel graph in Sunday school? Okay. See, in our church in Clark, one of our teachers, she still used it. She saved all that stuff. She said, this stuff is never going to get old. And you know what? She's right. The kids still love flannel graph. Cool deal. You're all looking at me like, who is that guy? All right. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, we're reading our text. We're talking about the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Many attributes, many parts of that single fruit. The first one is love. And we're going to talk about love today, but let's just highlight those other ones. It's good for our memories. Joy, peace, patience, kindness. Patience, kindness. This is getting hard. I mean, I like the love one. I mean, who doesn't want love? I mean, we all want to love. We want to give love. We want to receive love. And who doesn't want joy? I mean, come on. We want joy. We all want the Vikings to go to the Super Bowl, right? That's not joy, that's happiness. Happiness is very superficial, it's shallow. So you can all say that was a very shallow joke, Pastor. Come on, right? But joy is much deeper than that. Joy means I can be a happy, fulfilled, not really happy, but deeply satisfied Vikings fan even if we never go to the Super Bowl. Come on. So joy is cool. We like joy. Peace, we all want peace. We're praying for peace. You know, world peace. You know, let's go world peace. But we're talking about a different kind of peace. But then we start going, whoa, wait a minute. Patience? Patience? I don't know about that one. I mean, if that guy cuts me off in the street one more time, you know, I'm going to... Patience? Kindness? You mean I'm supposed to be kind all the time? Goodness? What is all this? Faithfulness. Now, there we're really getting into the nitty-gritty. Faithfulness, that means that you're constant. You're not turning sideways. You're going forward for Christ always. You're faithful, gentle, self-control. And we're going to talk about each one of those. Today, we'll talk about love. You know, there's a story I heard about a long time ago. You know, it just reminded me of this story, this word love. You know, anniversaries are experienced throughout the years, and this particular couple had an anniversary coming up, and this older farmer rancher decided that he wanted to do something special for the anniversary, but he's also a very frugal man. He doesn't like to dish out money very often. You know, gifts are kind of not too great. But he heard about this retired jet fighter pilot that had a new business around the area of flying people around just to see the scenery. He thought, what a great gift that would be for anniversary. So he goes to this pilot, says, I'd like to take my wife up for anniversary. And he's like, oh, no problem. Let's set it up. So they set up the date, and the rancher says, but this is the deal. I'm only going to pay this much. And he gave a number. It's kind of low. And the pilot's like, well, I can't do it for that. Maybe double that would be about right. And he goes, no. I want it for this price or not at all. So the pilot thought, you know what? These guys have never flown before. He thought of an idea. He turns to that gentleman and says, listen, I'll take you up in the airplane. I'll give you a ride for your price. As long as I do not hear a peep from you, not a word. Quiet, nothing. The rancher's like, oh, I can do that. That sounds like a fair deal. So they shook on it. And you know, when you shake hands, that's the deal, right? So the day came, they get in that plane, they take up off into the sky, and they're flying around, and no oohs and ahs or nothing. It is beautiful. And this fighter pilot, you know, he's thinking, man, this is going to cost me a little bit. I'm going to lose money on this deal unless they say something so I can charge them what I should charge. So he decides to start doing some hard banks, you know, get those G-forces going. And he's going like that. And the thing is, this is a beautiful plane. I actually flew in one back when I was a youth pastor. My pastor had his pilot's license. He had one of those open canopy things. You slide the window back, and you're out in the sky like that. It's awesome. And that's what this guy had. So it's all wide open, and they're just enjoying it. He's flying around, and he does this corkscrew like that. And he's like, that's going to get him for sure. Not a peep. Not a sound. Well, I'm going to do a couple of these loop-de-doos. And he does all this. He does all the stuff he can think of. And he's like giving them the thrill ride of their lives. Not a word. Finally, he lands the plane. He just gives up. Lands. He goes, well, sir, you impressed me. Can't believe it that you didn't say a word. You didn't make a peep. You didn't say a ooh, a shout, nothing. It's amazing. So you get it at your price, and the rancher's like, yeah, I'll admit it, sonny, you almost had me there when my wife fell out. Oh, no. Yeah, think about that one, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's not a true story. If it was, I hope she had a parachute, right? Knew how to pull the string. When you look at the big picture, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, really there's only one characteristic that best describes the fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. If you think about it, if you have genuine love, all other attributes of God's fruit should be realized. That's why God said there's two commandments that would fulfill all others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you can follow these two laws, everything is covered. And that's similar to what we're talking about here. If you can truly have this love that God speaks to according to the fruit of God's Spirit, you will be able to have all other aspects of God's fruit revealed in your life. You are a fruit-bearing tree. You will bear the fruit of God. It's important to point out, we're not talking about a humanistic kind of love here, not a worldly kind of love. You see, the humanistic love is based on emotions. It's based on your feelings, and it's a very superficial attraction kind of love. You know, most people, if they're honest, and this is teenagers all the way through, if they're really honest, they don't love that person that they just found attractive. If they're honest, they'll call that lust. Amen? I mean, now it might be deeper than that as the relationship grows, but the beginning phase is, ooh, wah, wah, yeah, she's hot or he's hot. And trust me, that's the way people talk, right? Now you're like, oh, whoa, no, not me. Well, you might have forgot about your younger years. Come on. And so there is an attraction that's there, but that's not love. That's not the love that we're talking about. Godly love flows out of commitment. Godly love flows out of what? Out of commitment. Well, Jesus said it the best. If you love me, what's he say? Obey my commandments. What does that have to do with your feelings? Zilch, nothing. Absolutely no connection to how you feel. Jesus says, you love me, you do what I say. Sounds kind of familiar of when I was growing up, right? Mom says, if you love me, do it. Well, that's not fair. Of course I love you. I guess I got to do the garbage, you know, whatever it was. And I had an issue with that for some reason for a time, but I got over it. I realized what she was trying to teach me. Godly love flows out of commitment. This character trait from God that is our responsibility to bear is the foundation by which we must build our lives. You must begin with love. There's only 2 points to this message. And it's, number one, I'll let you write it down. Jesus is our example of love. Number two, through Christ, we too can love. Those are the 2 points we're going to cover. What's the challenge? It's quite simple. Love. Love. Turn with me to John 15. I appreciate our young people, those that were just at camp. And one of the students was praying over me, and I was really blessed. Everybody prayed over me and Lou the other night, and it was really great. And one of the statements was, it was kind of in the line of what Nathan just said about me pushing them. It was like, it was a prayer that was related to how I pushed them, but we all know that he loves us. And I'm thanking God, praise the Lord, because I do. I love these young people, and I want God's best. But I'm not going to just sit back and be fluffy and cushy and not deal with things if I have to. I'm going to deal with it because I love. Amen? God loves you the same way. He pushes me kind of hard sometimes. He makes me do things I really don't want to do. But I know it's for my best because my Father loves me. Hallelujah. He loves me enough to drive me, to push me, to challenge me, to convict me. You know, if you don't ever have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're in danger. You're in danger of losing out of a tremendous life of victory. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't ever convict you, then there's something wrong. You need to renew your relationship so you can hear the voice of God again, because he's trying to get you to go his way, and you're always wanting to do it your way. He loves you enough to tell you, stop it. You know, the speaker this week, we actually had a speaker that was not planned. Saturday, the night of Saturday or whatever it was, he got a call, the speaker did, his name is Tom, he got a call from Dan Levy, hey, our speaker can't come for our week of camp. And I can't imagine what their conversation was. Oh yeah, when's your week of camp? It starts Monday. And the speaker, who is in the National Department for Youth, has not been doing camps all year, where he could just pull out his back pocket and say, yeah, I got all 5 messages right here. I'm ready to go. He had nothing. That's pretty incredible. And I suppose there could have been a conversation to this speaker named Tom where God's saying, hey, do you love me? Do it. Amen. And you know what? He came. And he was a little raw in his presentation because I know where he's at. He had no idea what's going on, honestly. Every moment that he was preparing was a new, fresh moment. He's just praying, God, please make this you. Please be you, because this can't be me. It won't work. And he did a great job leading us in a very non-traditional way, which more than likely, because of it, will be repeated next year. I will not be surprised if next year's camp is very similar to this week's camp, where we didn't just sit there and listen to a guy speak for 45 minutes to an hour and then go up to the altar. We did a lot of breakout sessions throughout. It was cool. But there had to be a discussion and a revelation and a realization of love in order for all of that to happen, to see God move the way he did. It all came according to God's perfect plan. But we couldn't have seen it a mile away. We couldn't have seen it 3 days away. And yet it happened just as God intended. John 15, verse 13. What kind of love are we referring to? Well, let's look and see what Jesus says. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now, that was a prophetic statement that Jesus said there, because he knows. He knows the very reason he came to this earth was so that he could die for you and he could die for me. He knows what the plan is, and he's telling his disciples, here's the greatest way to show love. Lay your life down. Are you willing to put your life before, put somebody else's life before yours? Will you step in the way of harm in order to allow someone else to live? That's the greatest love that there is. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through verse 8 demonstrates that discussion as well. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through verse 8. It says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." At just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What kind of love is this fruit supposed to produce in you? It's the fruit that says, "I will die sharing my faith to my friends and across this nation and across this world. If I must die to do it, I will die doing it." That's the love we're referring to here. And to go to the degree of dying for someone who doesn't deserve it? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding. It's interesting, the disciples, they heard this, and then they lived it. Not long ago, I shared the details of the disciples of how they died. You may recall that message. I shared it also with our youth group. Of those 12 disciples, you know that one lived to be old, John. One of them was a betrayer. He died from his own hand. The other 10, they died because of persecution. One was speared to death. There was another one that was boiled. There was another one that was... The numerous ones were hung on crosses. They all died because they were being faithful to God, to a world that was lost. They didn't just hear what Jesus said, they lived it as well. First John chapter 4. Let's talk about this love just a little longer. And we'll see how we can turn around and love others. First John chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's interesting to me that every popular book, every popular movie, and I'm using a pretty liberal term there, every, but I'm not aware of any that don't have this, that are meant for pleasure or enjoyment, for reading or movies, but they all have a theme of love. There has to be some connection to a loving experience in these things, or they flop. They just can't carry it. They're not going to be able to accomplish what the guys in Hollywood want. And yet, this is not even the godly love that we all seek. They're still looking at worldly love. They're still looking at lust. They're still looking at infatuations and emotions. Our society is starving for love. They're starving to have genuine, true, fulfilling love. Every soul longs for love. And when we get down to it, we come to realize the only love that will ever satisfy is the love that comes from God. You can have a good marriage in the world, and you can have a demonstration of humanity's love, and you can survive without divorcing. You can, but you will not experience the love God created you to experience. Because the only love that has that has the love of God within it. Every relationship needs God at the center to truly know what it is to love one another. Can you get by with the world's love? Well, sure you can. Anybody can get by with whatever they want to try, be stubborn, be willing to just do it. But ultimately, you will not experience God's love through that marriage until God is a part of your marriage. Hollywood is pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. and most books and authors and all, et cetera, et cetera. Verse 8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. There it is. The statement of the most powerful form of love is what? Jesus dying for you. The atoning sacrifice. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one, this is interesting, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Jesus is our example of what it means to love. He is love. And if God lives in you, then his love is also in you. I've seen people in situations where they begin weeping over someone they've never met. Because of an overwhelming compassion that can only be explained as being love. How can you love someone you've never even met? You can, because of the power of God who is in you. You can love above yourself, and as a matter of fact, you hope that you do always love above yourself. In other words, you love greater than you can love because God is in you. Your greatest enemy is your own selfishness. And so Jesus demonstrated how to love. Die. Die for your friends. Die for your family. Die to others, for others, so that they can know Christ. In other words, you're not the most important thing. And when you can grapple with that and you can have victory in that, you will see your life change, whereas love is concerned. So we understand, number one, Jesus is our example. Let's look at number two. Through Christ, we too can love. Look at John 17. I love this passage. John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for you. We know that he is interceding for us right now. He sits at the right hand of the Father according to the Scriptures. But do not forget, and I remind you, he prayed for you even before he died for you. That's pretty cool. And that's what we're going to look at. John chapter 17, begin with verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. And by the way, that's referring to his disciples, the 12. My prayer is not just for these guys. I pray also for those who will believe me through their message. He's praying for the future church, the future believers in him. Verse 21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is praying that we'll have unity. He's praying that we will be together in such a way that we're one body. And here we have such a diverse group of people, and here we are as a one-bodied church in Jesus Christ. We all do different things, we all have different responsibilities, but we are together as one. And that begins with the prayers of Jesus himself for you and I to experience. Verse 23, I am in them, you and me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, verse 25, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and they will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Can you love the way God's called you to? Absolutely. Let me tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit is in you, and Jesus himself has been praying for you even before he went to a cross to die. That's how important it is. You can love because of Jesus Christ. Turn back to John 13 with me. It's important that you love. Vitally important. John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35. I prayed with a young man this week. I met him Monday. He dressed a little differently than me. But then again, everybody does when they're teenagers, and I'm not, right? He was sitting with some friends, and I don't know why. I was just walking by, and I was going to walk right on by this little group. You know, they're having their own thing, and I couldn't pass them by. So I walked over to him, and I talked to that group. I didn't even get their names. All we knew is kind of generally where we came from, and I said, hey, just saw you here. Just thought I'd say hey. I mean, that was actually my word. Just thought I'd say hey. And they thought that was kind of weird. Then I moved on. I'm trying to remember if it was Wednesday night or Thursday night. I think it was Thursday night. We're having a powerful move of the Holy Spirit in the chapel service there. And we're wandering around praying for our young people, and I'm praying for most of our kids if I can find them. Sometimes you got to crawl over people to get to them. And I went by this big door that was open, and here's this kid standing out there outside of the church. And it was just like a beeline. Vroom, I just went right to him. I began to talk to him, and he was crying because he doesn't know if he can believe. His pastor, that he really did like a lot, left the church because he decided to have a relationship with another man. Left his wife and his family. Ouch. And I told him, I said, you know what's different about you and me? I said, when I was a kid, if I heard something like that, which I had, my conclusion was he must not have had enough faith. That man didn't believe. And so, of course, he fell, went into sin. And it could have been another woman. It doesn't matter that it was a man. Sin is sin. Amen? I said, problem is, your generation doesn't see it that way. Your generation sees a man like that fall and they say, it must not be true. Come on. It's no longer, oh, he just didn't have faith. Oh, he wasn't strong enough. Oh, he didn't have a supportive family. Oh, it just wasn't in him to complete the work that God was beginning. No, now it's not true. There is no God. There is no salvation. There is no Jesus Christ. There is no resurrection. It's all false. It's all a lie. That's the conclusion of this generation, by the way. And so when I tell you it's important to live for Jesus Christ, and when I tell you it's important to love as Jesus loved, you have to understand the difference isn't about you having not having faith. It's about whether there is a God or not. And our young people are looking at you and wondering, is it true? They don't care if you have enough faith. They want to know, is it true? And if you don't have the faith, it must not be true because you would live it if you believed it. It's important for us to love one another. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. What? Wait a minute now, Jesus. You can't tell me that. You can't tell me to die. That's the way Jesus loves you, right? Yeah, this is a prophecy of what he's about to do, but it still stands. Jesus knows what he's doing. He knows he's going to go to a cross for all of these disciples. He knows he's going to die for you and for me. And he's telling the disciples, who we are now, you need to love one another as I have loved. Because verse 35 is critical. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you can't love each other, then it must not be true. There is no God. The world could care less about what you say. They want to know what you're doing. You might have all the answers. You can go to a Bible study and you can teach the teacher, but I don't care if you can't love your brother and your sister sitting across the aisle. It's important to love. It's critical to love. It is absolutely vital to love. You don't have a choice to love me. I don't have a choice to love you. And I'm so glad I love you. And I really hope you love me too. The world is looking. They're wondering, is it true? Is there really a God that loves me? Is there really a Jesus Christ that died on a cross, rose again, and he wants to be my Savior? He wants to be my friend? He wants to be Lord and Savior, Master of my life? Are you sure? And they're looking at you. And they're watching to see, do they love? How do they treat the cashier? Come on. How do they treat the guy that just cut him off in the middle of that street? Let me just say this. If you're a rage maniac, go crazy on the streets and the highways kind of guy, take the fish off your car, please. I mean it. You're not representing me or the Lord when you're doing that. So stop. Quit advertising. I'm not saying take your fish off your car. But let me tell you something. The world's looking at that fish, and they're looking at the way you drive, and they're wondering, how's that work? Come on now. I'm being real here. Don't take that bumper sticker and plaster it all over if you're not going to live it. I just assume you were undercover Christian. Secret mission. And I think Jesus would rather it be that way too. Last verse. I almost said I'm sorry, but that was brutal, wasn't it? Ouch. Wow. Nathan, I'm blaming you, man. I'm blaming you. I just got to blame someone for that. You got me all riled up. Yo, he just pushes us. He pushes us. So there you go. It's Nathan's fault. Oh, Lord, thanks for that. I needed it. 1 John chapter 4. Yes, it's not in my notes. That was just God there, so you can thank him too. 1 John 4, let's wrap this up. Verse 19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. Yeah. That's pretty much saying the way it is, right? Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. I mean, duh. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And by the way, you can piggyback forgiveness right on top of that statement. You can't love someone you don't forgive. So what's it going to be? Well, Jesus is in me. He's in you. You're a fruit-bearing tree. And so you're going to love. You might have to bite your tongue. You might have to use the old thumper rule. You know the old thumper rule? It's one of the worst movies ever made, by the way, Bambi. Isn't that a dumb movie? Come on. Are you kidding me? Shooting rocks and gophers and squirrels and pigeons and birds and big deer and little deer and Bambi's mom. Come on, right? I admit I shot Bambi's mom. Talk about Thumper, though. Thumper sees this thing called a skunk. He doesn't know what that thing is. Ends up saying something that he kind of regretted because mom told him, if you don't have something nice to say, then don't say nothing at all. Right? So, sometimes you just got to use Thumper as your advisor. The Holy Spirit is helping you. You've got no excuse. Just before you're about to speak, you know. Put the brakes on. Stop. Don't go there. And you're like, oh, but I got my rights. I've got my reasons, and I got to get back at them. God says, no, you don't. You need to love the way I love. You need to die. Crucify that sinful nature of yours. Let me reign in you. Let me love through you. And you will be shocked at how that anger turns to love as you let the Holy Spirit love through you. Stand with me as we close. Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you for loving me. Wow. I sure don't deserve it. I did some terrible things. I've said some horrible things, very unloving, even hateful things through my life. And yet you loved me enough to die for me. All of us can agree that we didn't deserve it, and yet you did it. And now you turn around and say, okay, you're mine. You've received me as Savior. I'm in you. Now go and do likewise. You need to love. Thank you for reminding me of the importance of loving one another. I pray, God, your anointing to be upon us and within us, because we need your help to love. It's too easy to let the flesh take control, but we know that as you speak and as you guide us, we can be victorious in loving others. Even the people that are unlovable, you can give us passion and compassion. And I pray, God, that you do the work in our hearts, because it's not optional. It's part of the fruit that we are called to bear. And I pray your anointing on each one as we walk in faith and victory, courageously forward, loving one another and loving those who need to know about you. I pray your blessing, and I rejoice in what you're about to do through this great, wonderful group of people. In Jesus' name, amen.